I'm so very, very behind on the podcast. This is Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Gianna Stimson, the daughter.
All that enthusiasm's just run off from how excited she is to be going to school this morning.
I have never once mentioned I was excited. You just made up this whole fantasy to yourself that I was excited. You're the one excited.
Woohoo! School! First day!
See? You're proving my point.
Anyway, this is the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club from August 24th, 2021. This is Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Viviana Stimson, the daughter.
And we're on our way to the first day of school for Bibi with the unvaccinated.
I'm going to be like a little kid when you take him to school for the first time. She starts grabbing, Mommy, don't leave me. They're unvaccinated. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. I'm probably just going to follow some random kid. Hey, you seem like you're in my class.
That's right, because you haven't even been in the building of the school. You're in Secundaria, and your first year was completely online.
Yeah.
So you're not even sure where you're supposed to gather. Getting to the entrance. Are you sure people are coming to school today? There's no line.
I wonder why. You're like, there's no line. I wonder why.
Well, I guess we are 10 minutes early.
Oh, my. No.
Plenty of time for you to figure out where
I hate to break it to you. There's barely any kids coming.
Right, well, they're trying to divide them all up. Okay, I'm going to pull up into the loop, and we're going to say this has been the San Carlos Computer Club intro with Scott and BB for August 24th, 2021. Until next Tuesday, tech on!
Tech on! I'm going to go in there, sneeze, and scare the hell out of all of them. They're going to immediately kick me out.
Are you back in San Carlos?
Me? Yes. Yeah. Can't you tell? I'm in my office.
It looks like it, but you never know.
This is all a green screen. Because when I imagine being someplace fantastic, it's my office I like to imitate.
So I just see that Charlie Watts just died. He was 80.
Charlie Watts? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that another San Carlos?
No, that's a Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stones.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We were just listing the San Carlos people, so...
Oh, I missed that, I guess.
This don't the let this turn of. Into the Death Watch podcast computer club meeting. There's a number that could be listed.
Leslie Salen.
We have our recommendation section. We can have an obit section.
We could.
I think that's a horrible idea.
About Robert.
That's an indicator that our group's getting smaller and smaller, I think.
Well, then I could tune in every Tuesday and make sure I'm not on it.
That's right.
I was sad to see about Robert. He really tried so hard.
What was this, Judy? I'm sorry.
Robert Dunn.
Oh,
the motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Leslie Salen posted that she lost a friend every day last week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two. Efren, Jim Como, Maggie, Millie, and Phyllis.
Who was Millie?
Millie Garris.
Oh, wow. And then Robert Ben. I don't know that his was COVID-related, though.
Oh, a couple of them weren't.
So,
well, it's just yes.
So I see that they've closed the border again.
Extended the closure.
Yeah.
The Mexicans did or the Americans did?
Well, we're all Americans, but
the U.S.
Yes.
Canada, U.S., and Mexico borders by land are all closed until September 21st for non-essential.
Except they aren't really, but...
Well, and they aren't for double-vaxxed Americans can come to Canada.
I was going
to
say, I thought Canada opened up for vaxxed on the 9th. Oh, we've got 5 minutes officially start.
So my son took my granddaughters to New Orleans back to school, and... My granddaughter was saying that every place they went, they had to show their vaccine card.
Really?
That's what's supposed to start here.
Really? Well, my son said that it was pretty much a cursory thing. They didn't even look at it. They just, he has his on the My Colorado app. So he just flashed the app and that they passed him through. So I don't know what the girls are using.
I actually, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I left it as a follow-up topic on our shared document because I couldn't find an official app. What I found is in Alaska, at least, they're planning on offering an app. It sounds like there's a Colorado app. Cheryl,
there's
you make
a Colorado
it sound like
app, but the Colorado app does not have the QR code.
Okay. It just so sounds like just a hodgepodge of solutions as far
exactly.
as digital.
Arizona's app, I've got my, it's not an app, but I do have a copy, an official copy of my vaccine through the My IR something app that's Arizona, but it also does not have a QR code. So,
well, and the other thing that I learned was that there are some vaccine passport apps
yes.
that are being used by airline and such.
Yes.
And there is no, there's no standardization on. And so any given thing you might do, they might require a different app that shows
exactly
your...
like the IATA one that they were trying.
What is that?
That's what I, well, that's the International Association
of
Travel Agents or whatever it stands for. Because I was a member of that when I was a travel agent. But then I tried this other app, which is called...
Was it COVID?
That I couldn't get it to work. Let me see what... It's on my phone, I think.
I have one from MSN.
That's
MSN?
Yeah, okay, it's a very long name, but you'll understand. MSN.com, U.S. News, Science and Technology, stop carrying around your vaccination card. Here's how to keep a digital copy on your phone. Did you guys write that down?
Well, why would I do that?
No.
I wouldn't do anything through MSN.
Well, MSN is the news source where he's gotten the article.
Right.
Can you drop the link in the chat?
Well, it's in my phone. That would be a bit of technology, but
See, I tried Common Pass. Is that what it ends up being? It's not MSN.
No, I didn't do it yet. I have the link, but I didn't do it yet.
And again, MSN is just the news source.
Right.
Not the app source.
That was listed on one of those sites was called Common Pass, CommonPass, and it's an app, but you have to create passes and they'll show up there, which it said it was really easy to do, but it was not easy, so I didn't do it.
Okay, I invoked the link, and now it says CNET. Your vaccine card is too easy to lose. Here's how to keep a digital copy on your phone.
So it's a CNET article.
CNET, yeah. Let's see what it says here.
Well, he's looking that up. I'll just share with you.
Show more, yeah.
On my iPhone, I have, it's called My Digital ID,
right.
My Alberta Digital ID. So it's by my province. And it takes three different logins to get through to my immunization records. So like if I was to walk up to something and have to show this, it would take a bit of, you know, logging in and making sure I was connected and all this kind of stuff. But there it is, April 6th, I got a COVID-19 mRNA. There is a code, BNT, but it doesn't tell me, you know, what it was. I know it was Pfizer, but it just says mRNA. And then April 30th, I got my second one. So they're both there. And I suppose I could show that. But again, in Canada, they're saying we need proof of vaccinations to travel by train or plane between our provinces. But our province hasn't agreed to allow our medical information to go on to the Canadian
FYI, I just hit the streaming button in case you're interested. We've gone live, or we were supposed to have gone live in just moments here. Just so you know what's going on, this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we meet every Tuesday around this time to talk about the tech topics of the day. Check in with each other. We've been doing this for over a year. I see Chester joined us as well. Sorry, I didn't give you a greeting. Good morning, Chester. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
We were just catching up on all the latest COVID, the people that have passed away locally and the new restrictions that we're finding in our different areas. And we're following up on the topic from last week, the idea of a vaccination passport as an app on your phone so that you can carry your vaccine records with you. And okay, I've been frantically taking notes. I know at the moment Alaska's going to have an app, and I've got a link to that article. Just talking with you folks, it sounds like Arizona has an app, Colorado has an app, Alberta is doing it through My Digital ID, which Cheryl says is a pain in the ass, but would work. And the International Travel Agents Association has an app. Is that what I understood?
Well, they're working on it.
An app in process. I release the conversation to another person, I just want to double check. You all have the other link meet?
It is not on the chat.
Copy. I'll put it there. I also included it this time and forever now, part of the email notification guys get.
Wait,
so you can always look at that one.
I can't understand you. Got it. Thanks, Cheryl.
Putting it in the chat, and it's also going to be on the email announcement from now on. So at the beginning of the email announcement, you'll find both links.
Well, when I have the 14 different emails, I don't read any of them. I just delete, delete, delete.
Judy, I've heard this complaint before. I think you need to hire a remote computer consultant to help you sort out your email.
No, it's not my email. It comes from my Google Calendar.
As well as your Apple mail.
Over and over.
Yeah, it's actually an Apple calendar issue.
And you know what, Judy? I went through my Apple calendar on my iPhone, mm-hmm. and I turned off all of those different places that it was getting its activities. So down the bottom where it says calendars, I went to calendars and I unclicked a whole bunch of them because it was sending me a few things.
I use those calendars. Well, you can unclick them.
You can actually set them not to notify you.
Google Calendar. Google Calendar, San Carlos Computer Club. I had like four of those.
You can set them not to send you email notifications.
Anyway, this time it was in the email. Email.
That's where it should be residing from now on. We'll use the same two codes until something stops, like a 45-minute.
Yeah, because it's not in my calendar notification, so it's in the email notification.
Yeah, it's the one I send out. It's the one I send out at 9:15. Hey, Mom's here. Hi, Mom. We are just getting started. There is the link. I'm going to stick it again in the chat, Mom, so you can find it. If you didn't get it off the email this morning, this is a link to the other meet that we will use if we get disconnected.
I clicked.
Very good.
I have more information on this card, by the way.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, it said that there is no universal app recognized by everybody, but it says that a photograph on your phone satisfies a lot of people. It says, for example, AEG, who I don't know. Who's AEG?
It's an insurance company,
AEG Presence will accept a physical copy of a vaccination card, a digital copy of such card, or such other proof is permitted locally. So what they're saying is take a picture as the basic backup for your card.
Hey, AEG is a organization that organizes venue and shows like concerts. AEG Presence. They're headquartered in London, and so they have said that they will take what you're describing as valid proof.
It's very scant possibility that I'll be in London, but
I think they're one of those companies. They probably do maybe it is
worldwide.
The live entertainment division. Because it's got a Los Angeles reference here. It's got to be world.
Are we talking about the vaccine passport?
Yes. Or the concept of one, since there isn't actually one.
There's a lot of information going around that is very much concerned about vaccine passports. In that, your medical information should be held personal, and it is, I think, unconstitutional for any government to have this information, because with it they can tell where you are, they can learn a significant amount of information about where you go and what you do, and there's a lot of people that are concerned about the vaccination passport being held by any countries such as China.
I had to carry a little yellow vaccine passport many years ago, so that's
okay. Carrying a a little card so that verifies your that you've been vaccinated is one thing. It's another thing to have a what they call a governmental issued vaccine passport, which is in a government database.
But your vaccine is in a government database.
Well, it's in maybe a local government, a city or a county or a state, but the federal government, I don't think, has yet a passport database. And there's a lot of concern about them having one.
Isn't this the same thing as, I mean, on the front of a vaccine passport, let's just set that aside, as the real ID movement that we've got going on in the United States right now, where every one of our driver's licenses are being held in compliance with the federal regulation. And then I see this vaccine passport is you're going to be offered the option to add that to your real ID. So, and then we'll have these scanners that are wherever we're supposed to be checked for vaccine, and we'll hand them our driver's license and they'll pop it in the scanner and find out our vaccination. I just see that as coming down the road.
Well, as for the driver's license, that's, and or even a foreign government issue. The concern is who's going to issue these and who's going to have the information about where you use it and what you do with it. It's,
you know,
it's like the government having the information on your credit card about what you buy and where you go.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think that there's the potential
for that. If you have a cell phone, the government can find out where you go anyway.
Is anybody having a hard time hearing Scott?
Everybody's having a hard time.
Everybody's having a hard time. Only with Scott, though. Scott's is very delayed, so therefore he talks over different things. I think Chester.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what to do about it. Go ahead.
Chester, your point about local government versus federal, national.
I think the vaccine passport is going to be required. And the question is, who has access to that information?
Yeah. I think that we are required to have some form of ID. If you're not a driver, it's hard to have some form of ID. For example, my sister did not have a driver's license, but she needed picture ID. So, she had to go to our state government kind of thing and get something that just said, this is who she is. This is when she was born. But in order to travel, we have to get a Canadian passport. In order to do things, maybe we have to prove that we've been vaccinated.
But I don't think anyone has access to that information that's on your passport.
Well, actually, if I get into trouble in another country, I willingly want my Canadian government to know where I am and what I'm doing.
but that's not universally available. For example, to a cyber firm in China or a cyber firm in North Korea that may use this information in some way.
Yeah.
Am I coming through okay?
You are now.
Oh, good. I don't know. It seems to be coming and going. So just let me know if you have a problem hearing me. I appreciate the concerns that we're feeling in the United States over the idea of a vaccination passport. But I really think the concerns are a symptom of a poor healthcare system where we're concerned about insurance rates going up. We're concerned about big businesses knowing our health and where we're located. I don't think that's so much an issue when you have socialized medicine. One of the big frustrations in Sonora right now, at least with me, is that they've got a website you can go in, you can put your identifying number in, and it will download a vaccination card for you that you can laminate and take around with you.
It's not a card. It's a full page thing because I just did it for my friend.
Yeah, there's a whole, so you can minimize it and stick it on a card, carry it around with you. The point I'm making is that because I got my second vaccination in the United States, Sonora is not aware of it. There's also no way for me, I've researched yesterday, I cannot find a way to show Sonora that I have got the other vaccination, I have that paperwork in my pocket.
No, there's a link. When it first comes up, when you get your code through your email and you click on it, there are two links there. The first one downloads the paperwork. The next one says if you need to make corrections. Because my friend that got both of her vaccines in Guaymas, the second one does not show on her vaccine record. So she's going to get ready to try and add that to it. So maybe you can add the U.S. to it.
That's a good suggestion. I did not look at the email. I was just at the website doing it. But let me see at the, because I did get an email. I didn't even look at it.
But it goes away after 90 minutes. So you have to do it all over again.
Oh, well, that's okay. I should still have the email here, though.
But I did hers, and we didn't realize when I was doing it for her that, you know, it's Phyllis. So I was doing it for her, and we didn't realize until after she read through the paperwork that it did not note her second vaccine, even though they were both administered in Guaymas.
All right. I got the email in front of me.
And there's two links.
If they're incorrect, okay, correction data.
Yeah.
Let's see what that does. It says, si los datos que se presentan en el certificado son incorrectos. Now it's opening up another window, so I can't read it.
Yes.
Favor de hacer, acceder a la siguiente lija para solicitar un aclaración.
So you're going to put it in again for to save it. Incorrect.
So they want my CURP, they want my email, they want my phone number, copy of, thank you. This is exactly what I was looking for. Yeah, I can attach a copy of my vaccine record. I will try this after the meeting. I will send them a picture of my vaccine record from Arizona and see if that's enough to get put in my, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you. I knew there's a reason I show up for Computer Club.
That's right. We always learn something.
We always learn something.
And even if it's not Scott as the teacher.
I am the humble student of life, and I'm happy to be taught, as long as it's good information.
And I was glad to be able to provide that information. I hope it works.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, my wife was concerned about it. I've heard other Mexicans that are concerned about this. And it's really that kind of system processes concern. It's not vaccine details. It's just dealing with system processes in Mexico as being the concern. Right. Oh, well, they're not going to, like, the big concern is we're not going to be able to go to Sam's Club without proof. And so you're going to have to get this card. And it's like, well, no, you're not going to have to get this card, but you are going to have proof like everywhere else. You might have to have a piece of paper wadded in your wallet. That's what I've got right now. Mm-hmm. I've got two different cards. I got one from Mexico and one from the United States. I doubt anybody is thinking that I'm intentionally trying to falsify anything or break any rules.
So what I'm trying to do now is get my Arizona vaccine proof moved over to my Colorado app. So it's on my Colorado app as well. But that's been several days that I've been working on that one. So that's not working yet.
Well, there isn't even an app in Alaska yet. And I don't know if you guys heard, but they found 3,000 falsified vaccine records in Alaska. I think it was UPS. I think it was UPS that found these counterfeit vaccine certification.
And are they going to prosecute people?
I don't know. The article that I read was really vague for details, and it sounded like they found them by accident. I don't think it was part of any kind of investigation. I think they just kind of fell out. I should look it up right now. Scott. I didn't even put it up as a I didn't even think it was going to be a topic, but I'm remembering it as we're talking. Go ahead,
so,
Bill.
Scott, you brought up the fake vaccination ID. There's a couple they got charged in Hawaii for using false vaccine cards. And the funny part is, and they're two children. And they got caught because they had cards for their two children, and they were obviously under 12. So that's a bit of a giveaway. And they didn't need vaccination cards to get there in the first place.
Oh,
so
they did themselves in.
I guess buying vaccine cards might be qualifying you as they did themselves in, yes. Anyway, I just thought I'd add that particular little blurb.
Yeah, if you've got a link to that, I'd be interested in reading that story. I am giving you a link right now to an article about 3,000 fake vaccination cards in Anchorage.
Scott, that's so blurry. I can't read it.
Oh, you need to read it, Mom, from your chat. Go down to the bottom of the screen, bottom right-hand corner, and there is a chat bubble there. It's kind of a square chat bubble, and you click on that, and it'll bring up the list of links that we've been sharing.
Fabulous. I got it.
Well, and they came from China.
You think they're made out of bamboo wood paper? So, yeah, there's a topic I didn't even know we'd be talking about. Yeah, Chinese. That's the whole thing. I mean, just everything about our culture right now. Like, I would even have an opinion about Chinese paper. Like, I would even know anything about it.
Some people are afraid that we're going to have a V in the shape of Satan's horns tattooed on our foreheads.
Oh, that's
so, Scott.
That'll verify you're vaccinated. Wait. I need to know. Do you get the tattoo?
That'll
is that the
it.
Second? Is that fully vaccinated or is that with the booster? You get the tattoo.
The first one, you get an outline. Second one, you get it filled in.
So, Scott, the giveaway on the fake Chinese vaccine cards is that they're written right to left, not left to right, or up and down. That's how they write them. So that's your giveaway.
Too fascinating, mainland China. Okay. Bill has provided the link here.
There you are.
Pair were released after posting bail totaling $8,000. Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
People are so silly.
Yeah, well, the kids are underage.
Those folks that got held for $20,000 each in Canada showing up with falsified records. You guys saw that article? A couple of Americans coming to Canada. They uploaded fake vaccine records and carried fake vaccine records when they showed up. Canada charged each of them with four accounts each at just around $5,000 each account. Each individual was hit with $20,000 in fines. I don't remember. Was that Canadian dollars or American dollars? Maybe it's a more reasonable fine than I thought.
Could have been Monopoly money, Canadian.
Well, outside of vaccines and vaccination passport technology, I did create a document I shared with you guys earlier this week with a number of different topics that we could pull from. Just pulling from the pile, I wanted to say that I had mentioned the Microsoft Windows PCs to rent in the cloud. About two meetings ago, we were talking about the ability to rent a Windows computer through the cloud and not actually have to have it on your desk, but you could get to it from your iPad or from your Macintosh computer or whatever you just happen to have on you, your Android phone. Well, apparently it was so popular that they had to pause that free trial. And so I guess there's a lot of people out there looking for Windows computers in the cloud to use. I'm not going to get into the details, but I just thought that would be an interesting follow-up to what we were talking about before. And so I've provided that link here. It was much more popular than many people predicted, so much so that they immediately shut it down. I think it was less than a week. They'd been offering this free trial to people like you and I, and I think it didn't last more than a week before they shut it down. Well, now I'm looking at the date of this, and maybe this is different news. I thought I already read it. I'm gonna give you the link anyway. You can read it. Somebody's getting a phone call.
You want to get that?
Got it.
Scott says hi.
It was an unknown caller.
Oh, he calls me too.
Yeah, I wonder who it is.
I don't know. For I guess you'd have to answer it.
Our Visa card has got transactions on it, and we don't have a Visa card, or it's the IRS, and they want me to do something, and I don't have an IRS card either. So.
It's some guy in India that's concerned that your warranty for your car's run out.
That's yes, right. That too.
That is true, isn't it? There's this other article that I saw. This I didn't realize this, but there was a cyber stalker that Trump let go. He pardoned him. Did anybody get a chance to look at this article or this page of links that I sent out? I found this to be very interesting because this is going to have a effect on pardons. And what he was using was a stalking app that allowed him to track his wife while they were going through divorce proceedings. And the Trump administration went ahead and pardoned him from those crimes. And the DA is saying, nope, no, we're still prosecuting guy. And I think what they've done is they've found even more evidence against him. They're bringing it up.
Yeah, it says that he was rearrested.
Pre-arrested?
Re-arrested.
Oh, rearrested. I was going to say that sounded like pre-crime for a second there.
He's a personal friend of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and former associate of Rudy Giuliani.
Of course he is.
He was arrested.
Did you get into why he got caught?
He's
got a number of different calls into customer support with the company that he's using the stalking software from. He's called customer support a number of times for help. It says here at least 4 times, asking whether the software could be deleted by the person using the device and how long he could uninstall it perfectly without detection.
You know, Scott, so maybe you ought to make sure shut down your camera.
My camera.
Well, I mean, if your voice is that ugly and you shut down your camera, then your voice improves.
I'm turning off my camera now. Is that any better? I don't know. Can you still see me? Now everybody?
You haven't said anything.
Your voice is still ugly.
Okay.
I don't think we have much delay, actually.
I don't know how to fix it. I'm sorry. I wish I did. I don't know why it's behaving this way today. I haven't done anything. I just turned the camera back on.
Well, when you have the camera,
maybe you should get a hold of Sankar, the international Sankar, it's International Computers or whatever, and see if they can fix it for you.
Sony,
yeah,
good plan, Bill.
Yeah, call Sony.
It's sad to say that this is as good as it gets around here. We need, I think, I need a more reliable internet source, which is not happening out in the rain, at least not for a long time.
Well,
when you had the camera off, it seemed like we were actually hearing you in real time.
Oh, am I still here? I'll turn it off again. Do you think there's less delay?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I think
me
so.
Okay.
Somebody said in the Ranchitos, yay for Telmex because they got the fiber optics. I guess yours is going to be the last block ever to get fiber optic.
Well, that's because they know he lives there.
Troublemaker.
They don't have any plans on installing more fiber optics in the Ranchito. So there is fiber optics that have existed for the last 20 years that go down the street, 3 streets away from me. But there's no plans on bringing it down my street.
Well, they're taking it to Loma del Mar, which is on Primera.
That's what I hear. I'll believe it when I see it.
Me too.
Me too.
What we were told.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really easy to say that. And actually, I mean, I'm wrong because they do have plans for fiber optics all over San Carlos, just like the 4-lane highway behind me that goes up against the foothill.
Those are Mexican plans.
So, we're bringing fiber optics.
By the way, I'm really confused when people say the U.S. because, after all, Scott, you're living in the United States of Mexico.
That's right. That's not
it's
the
like
only state
like when they say America.
It's pronounced Merca.
Totally annoying to me.
Merca.
Now we know what country we're talking about.
And we speak America.
I lived in Australia. We got there just as the Gulf War. Which one was it? Desert Storm hit. Yeah. U.S. went right to war in Kuwait, I think it was. And the U.S. Embassy called us into Melbourne, all of us exchange teachers, to talk about this situation and what we should do. And they basically told us, if anybody asks you where you're from, for a while anyway, say you're from Canada.
Yeah, of course.
So you won't have all these problems. And so we did. And actually, what we found, the little town that we lived in, people were very courteous, supportive, and they knew we were from America, the U.S., and they were very supportive. And we didn't mind being Canadians, actually. It's just a surprise.
It's very similar to the American kids when they buy themselves a little Canadian flag to sew on their backpack when they go traveling.
Sure.
They don't see anything wrong with that. But they're very patriotic.
What else do we have in this list of topics that people might be interested in? Did you see Zoom's going to pay $85 million for lying about encryption and sending data to Facebook and Google? Did you guys see that? This is a little older article, but you remember when we started all this, there was concerns about the privacy and encryption of Zoom. And this is an article that's talking about how mm-hmm. Zoom is going to have to pay $85 million for lying to people about their encryption and privacy, for sharing people's...
Are they going to pay it to me?
No, it's a class action. So yeah, you'll get $5 to $15, I think. Oh, it's $15 to $25.
Oh, buy me a coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah.
That'll buy you three coffee Starbucks.
That'll buy you, they're $3.40 up here. $3.40 for a regular size at all. So it would buy you a lot of them.
Buys me a hell of a pile of coffee at my house.
There you go. You buy a bag of beans for having your privacy information stolen from you and then lied to you about it.
Yeah, I think we just bought a bag of a 2-kilogram bag of Starbucks for $13. I think.
Whoa.
The lawyers are going to get $200,000. You know, the way lawyers do, they're going to get $200,000, you know, their time and effort put into pursuing this money from Zoom. I don't know if you guys are in. Zoom cannot redefine end-to-end encryption.
I would imagine it's more than, I would think it'd be much more than $200,000.
But it says here, the class lawyers would get attorney's fees up to 25%, up to $200,000 for reimbursement of expenses. So you're right. Yeah, I read that wrong.
5 minutes.
This is the 5-minute warning that we'll be switching over to another meet. Does everybody have the new meet code?
No.
Look in the chat.
Okay.
In-call messages, there should be a link there for the next meet.
Yes, okay, it's there.
That's the first one, the 1103.
Yeah, Cheryl sent it, and then Scott sent it.
So it's the meetgoogle.com?
It's
the one that ends in HJF.
HJF is the end.
They're both the same. So how does this work when most of the schools in the United States are using Zoom to do their classes? Are they also part of the class action suit? Have they?
I'm wondering about my doctor's appointment that I have next Tuesday morning. It's on Zoom.
This is going back to, what was the date? I want to say Zoom meeting subscriptions during the time March, 2016 to 20. Wow. This is from March 30th, 2016 to July 30th, 2021. That's what that's how long they were telling people they weren't sharing your information and that it was encrypted, where it turns out it wasn't.
So we should be getting money because we had a couple of Zoom calls for Computer Club.
I don't think so, because it reads here, so the new class action settlement applies to Zoom users nationwide, regardless of whether they use Zoom for free or paid for an account. If the settlement is approved by the court, class members who paid for an account will be eligible to receive 15% of the money they paid to Zoom for their core Zoom meeting subscriptions during that time period, or $25. Whichever is greater.
Well, I didn't
class
pay
class members
anything,
who are not eligible to submit a paid subscription claim may claim up to $15. That's where you get your three Starbucks coffee. I get the big ones. So they're almost $5.
You noticed it was exclusive to the States. Canadians are not included in that.
Really? Does it say that? Did I miss that?
You just read it. What did it say?
It said national.
National.
It did say national, didn't it?
And the last time I checked, we're still an autonomous nation.
Well, anyway.
So we have to apply for this money so they get more of our information.
Yeah, right. To share with Facebook.
Yeah.
But you want coffee? I'm sure Facebook's, I mean, they've already got the information.
Of course. Well,
they've got a list and they're just, oh yeah, that was Judy. Got her. Well, I find it interesting just because it was the it was one of our concerns as we started this. We opted out of Zoom because there was all this odd talk about the way they were doing encryption. And if you remember, what they did is they verified to people that didn't understand that it wasn't encrypted using the free version. But if you paid for it, it would be encrypted. And
okay, we're going to get cut off, guys.
We are. What's our time period look like?
Less than a minute.
Less than a minute.
I'm going to the other one.
Me too.
Come on. Do your thing. It's like trying to set it up, not set it up.
Maybe they're on to you.
Maybe. There we go. Joining now. I'll see you guys on the other side. This is a typical thing. There we go. Finally. Ooh. Ooh, that sounded horrible.
Wow.
There's some real echoing going on. Where is that coming from? I just muted Mom. Here comes Chester.
It looks like you, Scott.
No? I think it might have been coming out of Mom.
Mom is turned off.
Yeah, Mom, you're echoing for some reason.
I turned off my speakers and then it went away.
Oh, maybe it's Paul.
Well, your mother's still in a barrel.
I think we're back.
My speaker is
off. Oh, Mom, you've got two sessions up. Let's close one of them. That's what's going on. Judy. Okay.
It's very embarrassing to be removed from the group. I don't know what I did other than echo.
You're still here.
You're here. I just removed the second one. You had two of them. Actually, Mom, I meant to ask you, how's your computer running now? Are you getting disconnected? Are you getting the off snap anymore?
I haven't used it enough. This is when it'll show up, is on this. So far, so good. I still can't get into iCloud, though.
Well, that's a password problem. You got to figure out what your password is.
Well, I think I have it, but somehow iCloud doesn't think I have it.
Well, if you want, so I can give you a hand with that at some other time. You're in the new meet. Right.
So, Scott, I know I'm in the new meet, but I had to go in from the email. I couldn't just go where I had joined it before.
Hmm. So did I. I had to go back to the email, too, because I asked to join on the other one, and it just sat there and nothing happened. So I went back to the email.
I think you were all waiting for me, because I couldn't get into it. When everybody jumped over, I couldn't get into it, and I need to authorize everybody. I think I was one of the last ones to finally get access to it, and then I had all these people sitting there waiting for access in. But I think it was me you were all waiting for.
We look like we're all here now.
Yeah. We're ready to move on. What else do we got going on today?
I did the one 60 Minutes the other night was showing the testing of the autonomous trucks, and it's in Arizona, which I thought was kind of interesting, and they're on the highway, and has anybody seen them? And second question, are you afraid of them?
Well, this link that you gave us is from 2020. It's from last year, right? August 23rd, 2020. And I couldn't watch the article because it's been pushed off onto Paramount Plus. But I seem to remember this from last year.
Well, maybe they re-ran it again August 23rd of this year because that's when we watched it. But yeah, it could have been originally.
Were you able to watch it from the link that you sent, though? Because I wasn't able to watch it. It keeps pushing me over to Paramount Plus to watch it.
I think I was. Let me see if I can find it again. I've got my document open.
Are you a Paramount Plus user? Because I thought it was odd that you'd be able to watch it, but I couldn't. But this is an article that came out last year that was talking about autonomous trucks being the first ones on the road and doing testing in Arizona. And now we are a year later. But that's what I was hoping this was like a follow-up on that kind of stuff. But I couldn't watch the article.
Oh, you're right. It says watch now, but this video is available on Paramount Plus. Oh, okay.
So
I don't have a thing.
Definitely an interesting topic, but we don't have any meat to it right now.
Okay, well, the biggest thing in there was about the trucking industry and the loss to employment. And then the other thing was the safety on the road. For example, they said, often when you're on the highway, police come in and they have to divert you, or they have flagmen and things like that. And how are these cars supposed to respond to being directed, or these vehicles being directed someplace else?
So, yeah, it sounds like they would have to be probably like drone pilots, right? You'd have people checking on the vehicles all the time. I just recently saw one of these where they were, and I've forgotten the numbers, but they were showing the savings that they were able to get from automatic drivers versus human, how they could save hours of transportation.
They can save hours, and they can save the money for employing them. They can reduce their workforce by a great amount. The driver doesn't have to stop and do, they have to stop to fuel up, but they don't have to stop to rest and eat and things like that. So
that's one of the things, isn't it, is that there's some federal regulation that a driver can only drive so many hours without rest. And so
there's
to pull it over. Yeah.
There's lots of regulations on truckers. Yeah. So many maximum hours behind the wheel within a 24-hour period, all this kind of stuff. Their logbooks have to be kept up to date. A lot of the trucks have computers on them, and they know when they go off the route. They know, they have the GPS that goes back to head office. They know how long you stop, what you divert. Yeah, all that technology has been in trucks for a long time.
Yeah, I think all that's left is the driver at this point taking responsibility. And this other article, and it seems like we were just looking at this stuff just a couple of months ago we were looking at. And what they were talking about in that article was how long trip trucking might be automatic, and we would still need truck drivers to get them on the highway and get them off the highway. So we'd have truck drivers like escorting them out of the city center onto the highway, and have a truck stop at the beginning of a city where they would take over the truck driver.
These are pretty much like pilots on the ship.
There we go. Here's one from January 4th. Thanks,
Bill.
Yeah, they'd be pilots.
I just posted one for you, too. Yeah, I think the same one.
Yeah, this is the one you posted. Let me accept the cookie.
Oh, okay. Now, the question was whether you felt safe or not. I have a problem with them at all, because all the human error is gone. You've got a percentage of mechanical error, but most of those things are set up. If anything is detected wrong, they just pull over and stop. If the driver falls asleep, he doesn't necessarily pull over and stop.
I think what it says in there is Two Simple's fleet of 40 autonomous trucks have been hauling goods between Phoenix, Tucson, Dallas, El Paso, Houston, and San Antonio. These routes are about 95% highway.
I think that article is off of the information that we'd had a couple months ago about that same triangle of places is where they've been testing.
By 2024, plans to achieve level 4 autonomy. Trucks will be able to operate without a human driver under limited conditions, time of day, weather, and all that.
I think that the road between Phoenix and Tucson is one of the wickedest highways ever. What a place to start with a non-driver.
I wonder if our regulations will end up being things like trucks will always be in this particular lane, right? Like there'll be one that has an extra code on the lane. It's like you can use it, but that's where a truck is always going to be using. They're not going to be swerving around trying to get in and out of traffic. They'll just always be in that one lane. They'll probably be set.
I agree because one of my favorite things to do is to watch vehicle crashes on YouTube. And a very common one is a semi that has a car riding on their right front wheel, and the semi pulls into the slow lane and weathercocks that sedan in front of them because they can't see you at their right front wheel. And so now they're driving down the freeway with a car going sideways with very scared people in it.
Jeez. So whose fault was that? Was that the truck driver or was that the...
The truck driver, and I don't know why... Okay, there's two things that raise a question to me in those videos is why they don't have some way to have a mirror where you can see if there's a sedan in your right front wheel. And the other is, how in the hell can you have a dump truck going down the freeway, taking out an overpass, and the driver not knowing that his bed is up? They should have that should have some terrible alarm if you start moving.
Some idiot light that says, hey, your bet is up. Why would the car even be able to move at those speeds with the dump up?
But yeah, easy to find a video of him going along and taking out an overpass.
That's funny. Wait, what you described about getting knocked on the you guys don't know this, but that happened to me in Wymas. There was a semi driving through Wymas. It was years ago, and I'm driving on the right of it, and this truck starts working its way over, and he doesn't see that I'm to the right of him, and I have to slam on my brakes and move over into the shoulder, and I actually stop the car right in front of a like a telephone pole, because that's as much shoulder as I had at that point. I had to stop, or I was going to hit a telephone pole. And this semi proceeded to come over where I was and knocked the rear end of the car that was in front of me. And so I almost got, I pulled myself off the road instead of getting hit, but the car in front of me got hit in the back, just like you're describing. I was pretty frustrated that I almost got hit and I witnessed them getting hit. So I hung around and talked to the police when they were dealing with that truck driver, because I thought, I'm like, you're an idiot. This is my community. This is my town. And you're driving through here like it's a highway. I think I was too much of a loudmouth gringo, because the cops were kind of like tired of me. they didn't want my witness. They wanted me to go away. I'm like, but he hit that car.
Now, the most exciting thing ever happened to us on the Mexican highway, on a four lane, we're passing, coming up on a semi, and you know all those pieces of tire that are laying on the road. Well, we saw where they came from. We got just ahead of the rear bogies on the trailer, and one of his tires, outside tires, blew. It sounded like a bomb going off right in our ear. That was fun. It would have been more fun if we were just slightly behind it when it blew.
I had a similar experience because of a bus fire. I was on a bus to Sacramento, Oregon, and another bus from the, I think it was Gray Line, if I remember right, it was Greyhound. And we're approaching, and there's a Greyhound bus that's on fire with a bunch of people off the side of the road. And we're driving past this bus that's on fire. And as we're driving past, the tire blows.
Yeah.
And it just shakes the bus that we're on.
Well, the difference being that, it might blow and make a big noise, but when you're going down the highway at 60 miles an hour and it blows, pieces of rubber, big chunks of rubber come off a lot.
Oh, that's...
Not too many years ago, I was driving a 50,000 pound RV on I-10 at 70 miles an hour and blew a front tire.
Ooh.
And that was not fun. Fortunately, I went all over the highway on both sides. I was finally able to get it off on the right hand side after running over a few saplings. The lesson to that is, and what they teach you, particularly about RVs, and I would imagine trucks as well, that if you do blow a front tire, steer tire, accelerate. Don't hit your brakes. Accelerate to gain control.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
That is good information, Chester.
Does it matter if it's rear wheel, all wheel, or front wheel drive?
You lose control mostly with the front wheel, not with the rears.
I'm just saying, would it be the same advice if it's a rear wheel drive versus a front wheel drive?
He's talking about a motorhome.
Yeah, I'm talking about a 50,000 pound vehicle.
A motorhome.
A motorhome, not just any vehicle.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think my question is still valid.
I don't know the answer.
Okay. No, I'm just curious if it would make a difference. It seems like if you accelerated with a rear-wheel drive vehicle, you'd be pushing the nose in. But maybe that's not the case. I don't know.
The main thing is to keep control. And the way
control.
You keep control is not hit the brakes.
Well, that's definitely the advice they give you when you're sliding on ice in Alaska. Turn into the skid and don't hit the brakes.
And you were talking about the alligator rubber. Of course, the rubber came off. And by the way, this was a tire that was only had probably 5,000 miles on it. It was a Toyo tire. And I decided I would never own another one. They wouldn't honor the warranty because I didn't bring the carcass to them. Of course, the carcass is all sharp steel, you know, those steel treads. And there's no way you're going to pick that up and put it in your car. But anyway, that was a good experience for me. From that point on, I never drive anything but Michelins.
How long ago was that, Chester?
Well, I'm going to guess 10 years ago.
I had a tire recently delaminate on me, and it just ate up my front end. I still haven't fixed it yet. Ate up my bumper because that radial and that rubber is flipping around. It ate up the underside of my bumper and the window wash reservoir. The hosing to it got beat up. Still haven't fixed it yet. It's a horrible thing to do, though. Don't let your tires go too long without getting changed. That was my story, not Chester's story, but my story was I waited too long to buy new tires. The tires, they looked good, but they were old enough in this temperature that they just rotted away. So the tread looked great, but they were breaking.
In the case of motorhomes, it's basically 5 years.
5 years?
5 years.
I think that's pretty much anywhere if your car's in Mexico.
I was going to say my tires are about 5 years old when I started having these problems with them.
That's what they told me at that one place up the hill by the old immigration place, or by immigration. Okay. That tire place said that's 5 years is probably about right down here. Even though I only drive it 2.5 of those 5 years. You know, it's still the heat and the weather.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that really caught me off guard was that when we bought tires for the van 5 years ago, or 5 years before. Before this incident, we had bought all new tires. So I have a brand new spare, perfect tread, and I go for it to replace the tire, and the tire had separated.
Wow.
And radial is sticking out of it. The tire's never been used. It's been sitting under the minivan for 5 years, but it just deteriorated with time and climate.
Of course, if you did go get new tires before this accident, those tires would be for sale at the Yantara on the road to Loma Del Mar.
You're not wrong, Paul. And actually, the saddest part of my story was I had this accident as I was going to go buy new tires. I was on the road to Guaymas to buy new tires when this happened.
Well, I have a car in San Carlos that I have to go get new tires when I get back there, and I'm going to drive very slowly with them.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, getting back on computer topics, I saw a great YouTube video that I thought you guys would find interesting. And it's a guy named Theo Joe, does a lot of tech stuff, tries to make it really easy for people to understand. And he did a video of Wi-Fi 6 versus Wi-Fi 6E, something that I didn't even know existed before I watched this video. Has to do with speeds and channels that you're able to use Wi-Fi for. But I thought it was a really good primer on Wi-Fi 6 in general. And I'll give you the link to it. You guys can watch it in your leisure. But we've talked in the past about whether Wi-Fi 6 was a purchasing decision. I still don't think, I think we're moving into the realm right now of Wi-Fi 6 is just going to be coming along with your upgrade. So I still don't believe you go out into the world and purposely purchase a Wi-Fi 6 device. But I do think that you end up buying new devices and they come with the latest version of Wi-Fi. And this is a really neat comparison of what Wi-Fi 6 was to Wi-Fi 5 and the difference between Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi E. I just stuck the link in our in-call messages so you can take a look at the link if you'd like. It's a YouTube video. I find this guy very easy to follow his information, and he gets pretty, in a nutshell, what he's talking about is how the traditional Wi-Fi 6 was constrained. Theoretically, you should have all this channel width because of the new standard. However, because of the old use of this spectrum, there's large sections of channels that are blocked out because of the country you live in. And this Wi-Fi 6E is an extension opening up those channels. So when you do go to buy a router, there is going to be a big difference between Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi E. And it's probably a big enough difference to be looking for it when you buy that new router. Huh. So there's that. I thought you guys would be interested at some point.
Maybe that would fix your sound, Scott.
Yeah, I doubt it. My problem isn't here. My problem is on the internet. Have we got any other topics people would like to bring up for today's meeting? Go ahead.
I have a question. Are you still on Juan? Are you on Juan's internet?
I am.
And are you also on Telmex internet?
I am as well.
So they're both bad?
Well, one isn't enough. Telmex isn't enough for us to do this. So we're doing this all on Juan's right
now. Okay.
Yeah, my Telmex goes up to almost 10 megabits down, but it's less than a megabyte going up. And when I first got on Juan, I was getting 60 down and 60 up, which is more than enough.
Right, that's what
we're doing.
That's what I was getting when I left.
But I'm not getting that anymore. And I've reported it to Juan. And I think what he did from our conversation is he dialed down his contract. So we're getting like 60 to 90 down, but we're still only getting like 10 up. And what that means is I get like 4 up. And so it is not the solution for this.
So what is down and what is up?
Up is going out to the internet and down is coming from the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I need to be able to broadcast out with doing this on YouTube and doing this meeting with you guys. And that's where we're suffering. Depending on how many people are on Juan's connection, I may not have enough out. And I know you guys don't care about the YouTube thing, but I'm trying to do the YouTube thing. The last meeting was a fiasco in Tombstone. It was great on the phone, but the YouTube meeting ended up being like a 30 minutes of video. That's all that made it to the internet. Have we got any other topics? Should we move on to anything else?
I have a question for you about the YouTube.
Sure.
Do you have people that are watching it? Like, do you
that? Not as many as the podcast. We normally have like 6 to 10 people that catch the YouTube video. Some of those folks are watching it as it's broadcasting. Right now, I don't think anybody's watching it, but we'll typically have like 1 or 2 people that watch it while we're going, and then we'll have a handful of people that come along later. But people watch it for like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that, and then they give up on it.
When I was in San Carlos, if I didn't come to Computer Club, I would watch it live on the YouTube. And I always had problems trying to communicate with you guys and everything, you know. So I would just watch it. I wouldn't interact with it on the YouTube.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the thing with the YouTube is it's watching TV. That's what you're doing is you're just watching us talk. You're listening to us on YouTube. And the podcast, we normally get 15, 16 people that download the podcast. I assume listen to it because why download it without listening to it?
A little confession time. I just listened to the introduction.
I know. And I've actually had family saying I should just make a podcast of all the introductions. Hey, truth be told, there's been more listeners of the podcast since we started doing the intro as a family.
There you go.
Well, what else we got
going on?
Are you out of here, Dean?
Scott.
Yes, you have some recommendations, I'm sure.
I have a recommendation. I don't normally have one, but I do this time.
Okay.
So if you are a Bruce Lee fan, this is for you. It's a TV series. It's in season 3, and I just ran across it the other day, but it's called Warrior. And it's produced by Bruce Lee's daughter. And it's based on some of Bruce Lee's writings. So, and it looks very, very vaguely familiar from Bruce Lee's type of movies. Let's see, what else?
You said this
and it's got some really great, great kung fu fights in it. You know, I mean, the main character is a pretty, he's not a, who is kung fu, the king. Was Carradine.
Jackie Chan?
No. Kung Fu was David Carradine.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right, from the TV show, yeah.
The old guy, the guy who talked like this. Mm-hmm. Sort of I think Shatner kind of took over his role. Anyway, it's a very interesting. I find it very interesting, and I actually binged it a bit last night, which is very unusual for me. I went to bed after Cheryl, as a matter of fact.
So Bill, is this a documentary of Bruce Lee?
No. It's an actual series.
Okay.
I've been watching it on Stremio. It's just Warrior is the name of it, and it's quite a good show. If you like Kung Fu type Bruce Lee movie shows, there. That's my recommendation.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
If you like that style of movie or series, then it's worth checking out.
Well, that's a good recommendation. Have we got any other recommendations?
I have been waiting all week to share this one.
Okay.
It's called The Final Member.
Is it a movie?
It's a documentary.
Okay.
All right. 30 miles from the Arctic Circle in the northern Icelandic town of Húsavík stands the Icelandic Phallological Museum, the world's only penis museum. Over 40 years, the founder and curator has been collecting. It is absolutely hilarious. It is so much fun. And during this documentary, he does not have a human penis. And so there is a contest going on as to who is going to be donating their penis to this museum. It's just a lot of fun. He started it because he wanted people to have more things to look, to do, and see in Iceland when they come to visit. So he thought this would be a fine contribution. Anyway, it's worth the time.
Might I suggest the Texas Longhorn, the male stripper there from a long time ago, who was quite famous.
Ron Iron, too.
You might think watching this documentary is the next thing I'm going to do, but truthfully, I'm going to TripAdvisor to see the reviews of the museum before I do anything else.
We have a museum in Alberta, in a small town that was, you know, got to have a museum. Well, they have a gopher museum. And what they've done is they've taken the prairie dogs and they've done taxidermy. And these gophers are in different historical scenes in this museum. So you can see gophers in, you know, schools, or gophers in battles, and gophers created. We've never, ever driven the 4 miles off of the main drag to go and see the gopher museum. But it's there.
I wonder if they've contributed to this phallological museum. Anyway,
well, that sounds really funny. Did you watch that on Netflix?
Here it says Prime, but we might have been able to find it on Radiosity. I'm not sure where we found it, but it says Prime.
Was that a date night?
A date night? Every night's a date night around here.
the kids call that Netflix and chill, right? Gopher Hole Museum. Netflix. Is this the one they were talking about? The
I
kids call
so.
It Netflix and chill. Yeah. Bill just provided a link to the Gopher Hole Museum. What was that, Cheryl?
I was hoping it's not kids that call it Netflix and chill. I was thinking that was like the 20-something crowd.
I thought they were all kids. I'm 51. I thought the 21s were now. Aren't I supposed to call them kids now? You look disappointed in me, Cheryl.
Well, when you say kids, I think of children your kids' age.
Okay. My kids are teenagers, so that might be appropriate in a few years. Don't want to talk about it. That's a different subject. That's a sore subject. Any other recommendations? I brought a couple, but I'm ready for anybody else here. Nothing you want to contribute? Say again, Cheryl?
I thought Jim Cunningham was going to ask a question just before we go.
Actually, yeah, I did have a question.
Sure, Jim, what you got?
I got a notice that Linda's MacBook Air needed to update the operating system. And so I went to try to do so. It said we don't have enough memory. So my question is, got any recommendations like offloading photographs to a thumb drive or something like that?
Well, you can definitely do that. Do you have the iCloud space? Are you using?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have enough space that you could put everything up in the iCloud?
Quite possibly. I'll double check now that you mention it.
Because if you do, and hopefully you're using a Mac operating system recent enough that you can choose to optimize the storage. And that should be an option in the iCloud settings in System Preferences to choose to optimize the iCloud or the storage on your Macintosh. And what that would do is it would only keep on your Macintosh the most recent photos and documents and leave everything else up in the cloud.
Okay, yeah.
And that might just eliminate your problem right there, is turning that option on if it's not already on. And it's dependent on you having iCloud with enough storage capacity to put all your stuff up there. And then your computer will make the determination based on what you're most frequently using, what needs to reside on the computer.
Are we still on the subject of penises?
What are you about to offer?
I am not.
When I store my penis in the cloud. No, go ahead.
I don't especially observe penises, but the biggest one I ever saw was an elephant.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, in the museum, he has just this ginormous one. It looks like it could almost reach the ceiling. I don't remember where he said he bought it. It was pretty huge. Is that what an elephant one would be like?
No, it was probably a right whale or a blue whale. I think it's the biggest they have.
Oh, I guess that would be the biggest. I haven't been down there to look, though.
Those whales are bashful. They don't really, they don't want to show off their penises.
Well, I think with that, I'm gone. Documentary's final member.
We'll see you, Chester.
Okay,
but I wanted to recommend, we saw the new Ryan Reynolds movie, that Free Guy. It was one of the activities that we did while we were in Arizona. We actually went to a movie theater. Ooh. I have been in a movie theater twice since I've been back. I've been off and come back to San Carlos. And in a month and a half, I've been in two movie theaters. And the last one, we saw Free Guy.
Free Guy?
How was it?
Free Guy. And it was a great movie. It was so much fun. It was laughing out loud fun. And I kind of looked at it like a Ryan Reynolds romantic comedy of Tron, because his character is a program or an artificial intelligence inside a video game. And when he becomes self-aware is when it becomes so much fun. It's fun for all ages. You'll totally enjoy it. I highly recommend it. Free Guy is the name of the movie.
Scott, I thought it was you posting in the in-call message a link to this movie review, so I clicked on it. Only it's not a Free Guy. It's a picture of the phallic of the blue whale. Don't click on it.
Oh.
Don't
click on it. Well, blame your significant other. It came from Bill.
I know it came from Bill, but
Bill's
I didn't
posting
see
pornographic whale pictures.
Well, you guys were talking about what a whale penis looked like. I figured I'd find one for you.
I think you just want to contribute. Oh, well, now I got to look.
That's what I did.
What do you do with that?
Sandy, I was trying to listen to the movie about the Free Guy, and I thought I was going to see something about it, and that's what I got. The full screen.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, so sorry about
that. Yeah.
Scott, would you please post a link to Free Guy?
What do you think? Is that episode artwork for this week?
But your YouTube might get censored again.
That's right.
You can blame it on your mom.
Well, that was my recommendation.
For your mom, Scott.
That's right. I'll make it a jigsaw puzzle. Every video will be one more piece.
What do I do with this piece?
Okay, well, that was my movie recommendation. We'll see you, Chester. We are coming
guys.
We can say goodbye. See you, Jim. Oh, what was that, Cheryl?
I want to know about the other movie that you saw.
Oh, the other movie we saw? What did we see, Mom? We were together. We saw... Oh, we've already talked about it. It was... It was the Jungle Cruise with The Rock.
Oh.
Yeah, those are the two River times Quest. I've been in a movie theater recently.
River Quest.
What's that? River Quest, yeah. Jungle Quest, that's what it was, right?
Oh, I thought maybe you watched Space Jam, so there you go.
What was that, Cheryl?
The Space Jam that I talked about?
No, we haven't watched that yet, but you gave it a high review for family fun.
I did. I didn't know what to think at first, and even if you don't know basketball, it's got a cute story, and it's got all our old characters, so...
Well, and it's computer club related because it's all based on a server backstory, right?
It is. Yeah.
It's actually probably in the same vein as Free Guy. We would probably classify those movies together.
Okay. I'm just looking at the review and the comedy action when a bank teller discovers he's actually a background player in an open. Oh, you know what? This reminds me of, was it The Truman Show? The guy thought that he was an actor in a show, but it was actually his life.
Just the reverse. He thought he was living his life, and it turns out that it was a show.
Oh, okay.
That's the truth.
It was a reality show.
Yeah, it was a reality show for the rest of the world. For him, it was his real life. He was born and raised in this reality show.
That's
a great movie, that Truman movie.
And that's kind of a serious one for, who's the actor?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a Jim Carrey movie. No, that's an easy recommendation as well, because that's an excellent. But Free Guy, you'll be laughing out loud. It's funny. And I kept thinking of what a twist on Tron, being trapped in this world and fighting through it, all the different. Oh, and there's pop culture tropes all over it. They're just and for all different. I felt like because I caught a lot of stuff. I think it was for all ages. My kids told me later that the YouTubers that were doing things in the show are legitimate YouTubers that they watch regularly, that were included in this movie. So I thought that was pretty cool that they didn't even fictionalize the YouTubers. They used actual YouTubers.
Oh, or something. I was thinking date night movie, but maybe it's something to watch with the family.
Yeah, no, I would say it's definitely one to watch with the family. It's great fun. I did also have another recommendation for those of you that are into the sci-fi and strange. Maybe I'll save it, Nick, because none of you are here right now. You're just going to chastise me.
No, I won't.
Billy won't. I'm into that. Bill and Jim always listen to that.
Well, I've been watching this TV show that's popped up on the Sci-Fi Network called Surreal Estate. Have you seen that advertised?
What is it?
It's Surreal Estate. Surreal Estate. Like a play on real estate. Surreal Estate.
All one word or two words?
It's funny you say that because they've got it written as one word with the E in estate capitalized.
Oh.
So they've put surreal and estate together as one word and capitalized the E. So to answer your question, one word or two, a definite maybe.
Oh, two words, surreal estate. Yeah.
And the concept here is that this is a group of real estaters or realtors that deal with the spooky property. And the very first episode really got me into it because he has this tagline about being concerned about the God-given free market value of your property being diminished by scary stories. Or actual specters. Either way, it needs to be dealt with so that you don't lose out on the value of your property, your investment. It is ghost hunters from a realtor's point of view. It is very funny, really silly. You have to appreciate that kind of genre to appreciate this show. But I would at least watch the first episode.
All right. Okay. I think I've hit the end of the show, whether it's yours or not.
All right.
Back on, Scott.
You guys have a great week, and I will see you next Tuesday. Until then, tech on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Paul. Bye, Cheryl. Bye, Bill. Bye, Mom.
Hey,
we'll see you guys next week. Oh, yes.
Scott, I had one aw snap. I sent you a message.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
One aw snap, huh? Does it feel like your computer's getting hot?
Not particularly. really. No, not any more than usual.
I thought the computer actually seemed pretty healthy outside of the hard drive.
Yeah. Well, it's only one. Usually I have 4, 5.
Okay. So, well, we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay.
All right, Mom. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you around 1. Bye.
All right. And that was San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 10 o'clock-ish until 11 o'clock-ish. And we discuss tech topics and check in with each other. And you join us as well. Just go to our website at sclub.org and you will find links to how to join our. Until next Tuesday, tech on.